you turn on the news and you hear about another tragedy. Either it's the stock market or it's some little girl that has been disappeared from her neighborhood and the police are out looking for her, and you remember everything that you have heard. Or you hear about some teenagers just caught in gross immorality. You hear about another divorce. You hear about another murder. You look at all of this and you think, what is going on? What kind of a future are we facing? And you know what? Those are good questions. What kind of a future are we facing? And is there anything that can turn our society around? Oh, my friend, there is something that can turn our society around. There is something that can come along and divert us from all the iniquity, all the sin that we're in. And that something is what we're going to talk about today. Capital of sin, the capital of iniquity, the capital of crime, the capital of pornography, the capital of abortion, the capital of murder. Where would you look? Where would you go? What part of the map would you point to? Well, in our day, you know where you'd point? You would point to the United States of America. We are the exporters of sin. We are the exporters of sin. We are the exporters of pornography. We are the exporters of immorality. We are the exporters of every degrading thing that a person can get involved in. We're the exporters of those things. You know, when you look at the Bible, you find out that we're very much like Rome. The Rome that existed in the days of Jesus Christ. The Rome that went ahead and crucified Jesus Christ. The Rome that took the Christians and persecuted them. You saw the movie Gladiator. You saw other movies that have to do with the Roman Empire. You saw that famous old movie, Spartacus. You saw the one that had the chariot races with William Holden. You saw that one. You saw all these that centered around the Christ of the ancient days and the Christians that followed Jesus Christ. Paul sits down and he writes a letter to the church that is at Rome. This is the letter that you and I are studying. This is the letter that I want to become a part of you. This is the letter that I want you to understand for yourself. Why? Because this is the letter that talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. That is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. Now, when Paul sits down to write this letter, he's on his third missionary journey. The time is about 56, 57, some say 58 AD. The exact year doesn't make a difference. Rome is the power of the world. And Rome is the capital, the exporter of all the degradation that goes throughout the rest of the Roman world. And Rome was the supreme ruler at that time. There are about 60,000 Jews living in Rome at this time. Paul wants to come to Rome. There's a church at Rome. And Paul wants to get to that church because there are things that he wants to do. He's on his third missionary journey. He's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to deliver some money that he has collected for the saints to help them. And when he goes back to Jerusalem, he is going to be arrested. He's going to be arrested, and he is going to be brought to Rome in chains. Now, he doesn't know that when he writes this epistle. All he knows is that he wants to go to Rome. And you know what? God sends him. He doesn't think that he's going to go this way in chains, but however he gets to Rome is fine with Paul, because Paul has a passion. And you know what? That passion is fulfilled. Are you passionate about anything? Let me ask you a question. Are you passionate about anything that is outside yourself? Are you passionate about anything that is good for you and not destructive to you? So many people are passionate and they're driven and they're compelled, but they're driven and compelled towards what is evil. It's almost like they are caught in chains and they're slaves and they can't get set free. Well, this book is about the gospel of Jesus Christ that sets us free. That sets us free. It sets us free from three things. It sets us free, first of all, from the penalty of sin. It sets us free, second of all, from the power of sin, the power of sin that holds us like this. And third, it tells about how someday you and I will be set free from the presence of sin. You know, when September 11th happened, all of a sudden, the world was awake. And what did they want to know? They went running to people that knew the Bible, and they wanted to know, is this the time of the end? What is happening? What is happening? Is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Is God judging us? That's what they wanted to know. All of a sudden, in one day, in three acts of horrible terrorism, our eyes were suddenly opened, and we realized our own vulnerability, and we wanted answers. And you know what? The statistics tell us that the churches were packed. They were absolutely packed after 9/11. That was a Tuesday. And on Sunday, and even before that, people were at the church. They wanted to know what was going on. Paul's writing to the church at Rome. And what I want us to do is remember, I'm teaching you how to mark the Bible. I'm teaching you how to study it yourself. Why? Because believe me, you're going to hear so many messages. If you ever turn on a Christian television station and you listen from morning to night, you're going to get conflicting messages. You're going to get the opinions of some people. You're going to get the revelations of others. You're going to hear the prophecies that they feel that God has given them. And how are you going to sort it all out? Well, I believe that the reason God laid this on my heart to do with you, to do this study with you, is because God wants you to learn how to sort out things so that you don't have to run to somebody else for the answers, but you know how to run to the Word of God and find the answers. So this is what we're going to do. I hope you have the text of Romans in front of you. I hope that you've written us and that you've gotten the booklet on Romans. I hope that you have the colored pencils that you need to mark the text with. If not, listen carefully. If you have a Bible, run. Just turn the television up loud enough so you can hear it and run and get that Bible, as long as you know where it is. If you don't know where it is, find it for next week, okay? But listen carefully. Whenever you read a book of the Bible, you need to ask yourself the five W's and an H. Those are questions of observation. You need to ask who. Who is writing? To whom are they writing? Who are they talking about? Who? What? What are they talking about? What is the subject? What is the event that is going on? Who? What? When? When is this taking place? Where is it taking place? Who? What? When? Where? Where is it occurring? Where will it occur? Where did it happen? All right. Who? What? When? Where? You got it. Why? Can you say it with me? I need to know the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and that H, the how. So we're going to, when you read a book of the Bible, especially an epistle is a letter, and that's what Romans is. Romans is a letter that the Apostle Paul sat down and wrote to the church at Rome about 56, 57, or 58 A.D. Now, he wrote it. We know that he wrote it because he starts, which is traditional in their writing, he starts with his name. He starts with his name and description of him. He's writing to a group of people. So what you normally do when you read an epistle is you color every reference to the author in one color and every reference to the recipients of that letter in another color. When you do this, what you're looking at and you're concentrating on is, okay, what do I learn about the author? What do I learn about the recipients? So what I do is I have a color code. All right, and I got it out of the New Inductive Study Bible. That's a Bible that tells you how to study every book of the Bible inductively on your own. Inductively means that you miss the middleman and you go straight to the Word of God to discover truth for yourself. You say, I can't do that. I ain't educated. I want to tell you something. Education has nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, sometimes our education can get in the way because we think we're so smart. So education has nothing to do with it. It's simply, do you really want to know for yourself what God says? If you do, I can tell you this, I can promise you this, and I want to just go like this, and I want to just take your face in my hands, and I want to look you square in the eye, and this is what I want to say to you. Listen very carefully. God desires for you to know Him. And He will open the Word of God to you if you will just study, if you will just discipline yourself to get in this book. God will reveal Himself to you. And this is a method that He uses. It's just a method. So what I do is I color every reference to the author in blue and every reference to the recipients in orange. Okay, now this is what I'm going to do. I want you, as I read, I want you to color every reference to Paul, he's the author, in blue. Okay, just take your little blue pencil and color it quickly and listen carefully. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, if you were with us last week, we marked the word gospel, and this is one that you want to mark, and you'll see it there on the screen and how we marked it. So what do you learn? This is Paul, and he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That means that he is a love slave of Jesus Christ. He has discovered who Jesus Christ is. He has bowed the knee, and he says, I am yours, and you can do anything you want with me. That's how committed Paul was. He's also an apostle. An apostle was a person that was sent by somebody important or by somebody that wanted to deliver a message. And that apostle was the one that was sent from the messenger to deliver the message to the recipients. And so that's what he is. He's an apostle. All right. And he's an apostle and he's set apart for the gospel of God. In other words, he has one purpose in life. And that purpose is to get that gospel, to get that good news to everybody that he can. Why? Why? Because it's the gospel that absolutely transforms us. It's the gospel that can change our society. It's the gospel that can shake up this world and cause people to come to their senses and wake up and see, hey, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to live the way the rest of the world is living. You can live in the grace of God, in that unmerited favor of God, no matter what kind of a pit you've come from, and you can have peace. You can have the peace of God in your heart. So Paul is writing to them, and he's speaking to you at the same time. And what does he want them and you to know? I'll tell you when I come back. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children or it was the family or it was finances or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you and our subject is help, Lord, help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd. Okay, you've had your break. You've heard about materials that you'll want to order that will help you grow. Now, let's do it, okay? Let's roll. Let's get going. All right, you're going to take a blue pencil. We're marking Paul. So in verse 1, you colored Paul, okay? Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He's the author, all right? Now, in verse 8, and this is where we left off last week, he says, first, I thank my God. So what are you going to mark? You're going to mark the pronoun I. Why? Because it's obviously the person that's writing the letter. And the person that's writing the letter is Paul. So you simply color it. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, we're not going to mark at this point. We're not going to mark the recipients, okay, because of time. But he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. If you were marking that, you would color it orange because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. In other words, whoa, Rome was known for its debauchery. I mean, Rome was in such deep, deep sin and iniquity that women were known, women remembered what year it was by the husband that they were married to. I mean, Rome was in such debauchery that you could go into the theaters at Rome and watch people having sex on the stage. I mean, that's what was happening in Rome. Rome, the mighty empire, was decaying, absolutely crumbling from within, just like it's happening in the United States, unless we realize the power of the gospel. So he says, I thank God because of your faith that's being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness how unceasingly I make mention of you. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to mark those two I's in this verse. So I'm going to read. You're not going to look at the screen. You're going to look at the text, and you're going to mark that if you haven't already done it. He says, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I, that's right, color it blue, may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. I long to see you. I, got it, long to see you in order that I, and you color it again, may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. Now, why does Paul want to see them? Why does Paul want to come to them? He wants to come to them because he has something to share. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. If you have Jesus Christ, you have something to share. If you have Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual gift just like Paul has. And Paul will talk about it later in Romans chapter 12. But you have something to give to others. Now, in a society where we just want to get, we've got to know that we've got something to give if we know Jesus. And that something that we've got to give is powerful, absolutely powerful. You'll see that in just a minute. He says, I long to see you in order that I might impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each one of us by one another's faith, both yours and mine. What is he saying? He's saying it's so important for us to get together. It's so important for us to be able to talk. It's so important for me to hear about you and you to hear about me. Why? Because when you get together with someone of a like passion, of a like mind, of a like purpose, then what you do is you find iron sharpening iron. You find yourself encouraged. And he says, that's why I want to come to you. So one of the reasons that he's writing this letter is to tell them, hey, I want to come to you. And when I come to you, this is what I want to do. And then he goes on to say, and I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you. I mean, it's been on my agenda. He says, but I've been prevented thus far. I've tried to get to you and I've tried to get you and I tried to get to you and I've been stopped. I've been stopped. He says, in order, the reason I wanted to come was in order that I, mark I again, might obtain some fruit among you also. Now, what on earth is he talking about? I want to obtain some fruit. Does he want to buy some apples? Do you want to buy some oranges? Whatever Rome is selling in those days. No, he's talking about a fruit that comes from impacting a person's life and seeing that person change, seeing that person grow, seeing that person find the answers to their problems and seeing them walk as more than a conqueror. That's the kind of fruit that he wants. He says, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. He says, I've been around this world. I've been around this Roman Empire. He said, I've even been to Macedonia, and you know what? When I got to those Greeks, that former Greek empire, he said, lives were absolutely changed. I want to tell you something. If you will stick with me, if you will stick with me, if you'll make me a habit, your life will be changed, not because of me, but because you and I are going to be face to face with the Word of God, and it is alive, and it is powerful, and you read it, and it comes in, and it lets you, it takes the covers off, and it lets you see what you're like inside. And you know what? It never does it for any other purpose than to help you become everything that you ought to become. All right, now let's go back to the text, and I want you to see, he says, I am under obligation. So I want you to mark the I. He's under obligation. It says in the King James Version, which is another version of the translation of the Bible, I am a debtor, and that's what it means. I owe you something. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. He says, thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel. Let's mark gospel there. Let's put that megaphone over it again, just like this. All right. He says, to preach the gospel to you also who are where? In Rome. All right. Now, let me tell you something. When you study the Bible and you're looking for the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how, you want to know where. So what I do is I take a green pen, a fine point green pen. I get micro pens at the stationery stores and that, or art shops. And I keep them in all different colors. And I double underline in green like this, like you see, every reference, every geographical location. So this is how you pick up where you are. And if you go back to verse 7, it says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome. So you double underline it. Then you come back to verse 5, and he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are where? In Rome. So you double underline it. This helps you keep in context and see where you are. All right, so now watch what you find out about Paul. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, why is he saying to the Jew first and also to the Greek? Why does he say to the Greeks and the barbarians? Well, when you went back in time, The Jews would look at the whole world as Jews and Gentiles. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. Even if you lived in the Middle East, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. All right. When you looked at Rome, Rome divided all the world as either citizens of Rome, which, by the way, Paul was, or strangers. They didn't belong to the Roman Empire. And it was coveted to have a membership to be a citizen in the Roman Empire. But when you looked at the Greeks looked at everybody. I mean, they were the intellectuals. They were the philosophers. And they looked at the whole world as either Greeks or barbarians. In other words, if you weren't a Greek, you were a barbarian. In other words, it'd be like saying in the South, you're just a redneck. You know, that's all you are. So when God looks at us, though, whether we're Greeks or barbarians, whether we're Jews or whether we're Gentiles, whether we're citizens or whether we're strangers, we're important to God. And this was Paul's passion. Watch what you learn just from these verses. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, his last I, where you mark that, he says, I want to obtain some fruit among you also. And then he goes on to say, for I am under obligation. I'm a debtor. I want to obtain some fruit among you. I want to come to Rome because I want to see more people come to Christ, and I want to help you reach more people for Jesus Christ. But also, I want you to know that I'm under obligation. It's like there is a burden on me, and that burden puts me in obligation to other people. He says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. And then he says, I am eager. Now listen, I want to obtain some fruit. I'm under obligation. I am eager. In other words, listen, my engine is already revved up, and I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. I'm eager to bring this message. So the message has to be more than just the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, he was raised from the dead. The message has to be that the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed your life. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 16, for, this is a purpose clause, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power. It is the, it's that engine under the hood. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first. To the Jew first. If you're listening and you're Jewish, if you're sitting in Jerusalem, a city that I love, a city where we have an apartment, if you're sitting in Jerusalem, you can know this, that this good news is for you as a Jew. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile, to anybody that is not a Jew. He says, I want to preach the gospel to you. Why? Because he said, listen to me very carefully. It's the power of God. There's power in this message, and it's so powerful that it saves you. You say, saves me from what? Precious one, it saves you from hell, and it guarantees you heaven. So when you die, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. We'll talk about it more next week.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order today's program, click on our website at preceptsforlife.com. And be sure to download your free copy of the study guide by logging on to our website or calling us today at 1-800-763-1990.